You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you, wherever you may be. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. George Ruggiero hanging out with me here. George, good day, sir. You can follow him on Twitter at KingGeorge94. How are you?
Good morning. How's it going, Jeffrey?
Listen, we're just rocking and rolling early. And so let's celebrate. We got coming up on the program. Chris Harrington going to join us in the 10 o'clock hour like he always does. So we'll really pick his brain, get everything that he thinks about what happened yesterday at the start of free agency, because it certainly felt like the Memphis Grizzlies for a good solid hour and a half were about the only team that were really doing anything. It kind of felt like Zach Kleiman was trying to get on his vacation early. So he'll join us. Then Charles Fishman going to join us. Fish on Friday, on Tuesday. So looking forward to having him with us. We got some hot tariff talk. We also got a great story from the Disney Cruise Line. Heartwarming story there. And, of course, some news about Cracker Barrel. So we'll talk about that. But now, let's welcome the man to the program. He, of course, is Jeff Calkins, joining us live from the Lake House in Michigan. Jeff, good day, sir.
You know, I'm particularly happy that you're having to deal with Fishman today. You're going to have to wrangle with that ornery personality. That is going to be great. I can't wait to listen to that. And I did see some tell of the Disney rescue, these two people bobbing in the water. I'm not going to spoil it because what I don't understand is how they ended up in the water. So maybe Fishman will tell us that, but I know there was some kind of a dramatic rescue.
I think it's still unclear. We know how the dad wound up in the water. He saw his daughter go in and he jumped in. We don't know what happened to the daughter.
I see how she ended up. Right. Well, that makes sense then. It was heroism. Anyway, Fishman, I'm glad you're going to have to deal with Fishman and I don't have to, because it is the bane of my existence every week that I have to put up with him interrupting me as he does and trying to control the segment like it's his radio show. So best of luck with that to you and George. Otherwise, it's good to be with you here for the first segment. I think everyone will be waiting to hear what Chris has to say about the Grizzlies' big day. Let's just do this right off the top, though. All three of us, if you were to give a grade to the Grizzlies' day of free agency, what letter grade would you give it? George, we'll start with you. George, what letter grade would you give the Grizzlies?
I'm giving the Grizzlies a solid B. Solid B. I like what they did. I like taking care of in-house business first. I think there was a bigger need than Ty Jerome to take care of, you know, with a five. But, I mean, at that number, how can we sit there and complain about a guy who shot, what, 40-some-odd percent from three last year?
Can create his own shot, too.
Yeah.
He's going with the B, the solid B. Jeffrey, what are you going with?
Yeah, I think I'm right there with George. I'm somewhere in, like, the B to B+, maybe 86, 87, because the other issue is I just realized last night, like, I'm done trying to understand the salary cap. Like, I have no idea how they did everything they did. I'm glad that they did it. Good for them. I like the Jerome pickup. I like the fact that Santi's now at a number that, you know, it's if you need a tradable asset, that's great. And then Jaren gets his big deal. At first, you see the big number, and you're like, how did they pull that off? And then when you see Bobby Marks had the yearly breakout, and you realize, okay, well, they're banking on the salary cap going up. Very backloaded.
Okay. I don't understand. You people are grading like it's the 1950s. Back then, an A was an A.
Yeah, I don't believe in grade inflation. I'm not going to change my...
How in the world...
The standard is the standard.
How in the world you can't give the Grizzlies an A for yesterday is totally beyond me. I think you two are
They didn't
are
get another big.
I think you're stingy. Let's step back and see what they accomplished. First of all, and I don't think this can be underestimated, at a time when Stephen A. Smith tells me that no one wants to live in the city of Memphis, at a time when, honestly, in a small market, it has been, we've always had suspense over, are we going to keep Mike Conley? Are we going to keep Marc Gasol? And then we've been dealing with suspense over, oh, goodness, we got a three-year win. That's when we started talking about it, when Jaren had 3 years. So 2 years ago, we started talking about this, when Jaren had 3 years left on his deal. Is he going to be a free agent? Is he going to walk? Is he whatever? The fact that they, like, right out of the gates, got Jaren locked up for, yes, it's a big number, but you know what? It's not the Supermax number. it's not the Supermax number. The fact that they got Jaren locked up for the long haul, I think is extraordinary. And the fact that it seemed effortless, it was just like, oh, well, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. I don't want to take that for granted. It means they have done a really good job of creating a relationship. The money helps too, but creating a relationship with Jaren such that he wants to be here. And so I think that is the headliner, and I'm giving him an A plus for that. Then you get Santi again. Like, I don't think Santi, people would come after him for the mid level. They gave him a little more than the mid level. So I'm not good. That one I'll give him a solid B for. It's just they did what they were supposed to do. But then on top of it, adding a player who, in Ty Jerome, who I don't think we thought could be gotten that cheaply. I mean, Hollinger in his projected deal for Ty Jerome said 3 years, $35 million, and the Grizzlies get him with the room exception. What the hell is the room exception? Let's be honest. And
we learned from Mark Cuban took credit for the room exception on Twitter last night.
Oh,
did he?
Yeah.
Cuban, what did he say? Did he name it?
Yeah.
Did he name it?
Yeah, let me pull up his tweet.
What's the derivation of the room exception?
I gotta see this.
Let's see. Okay, I'm pulling up his Twitter now.
Anyway, until Chris started talking about the room exception.
Yeah, here we go. All right, you ready?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Some NBA cap room history for you. When I was on the committee doing labor negotiations, I suggested we create an incentive for teams to stay under the cap. Till that time, you got to use your cap room. Nothing more. So I suggested the cap room exception. It stuck. Cap teams, you are welcome.
Tell your story.
I'll be honest. It sounds credible to me.
Yeah, I can buy that. I also would like. He gave a better answer for that than why did you sell your team.
So I buy that. But anyway, so you get Ty Jerome, who is at a time when we were wondering who's going to shoot the ball. I mean, literally yesterday, we were like, the team seems a little shy on shooting. To add a guy who shot 44% from three, and let's not underestimate this, you are reuniting him with Jay Huff, national championship, former national champions together at Virginia. Wahoo wah. I don't think, so yes, In maybe I'll give them an A- because there's no center. Like, in the end, they did not have enough money to do everything. So it's like you're doing your budget, your monthly budget for your house or whatever else. And you're like, you know what? We can do this, but we can't do this. You got to make some choices. And as Chris pointed out in his piece, they probably, as they were deciding between five and another ball handler shooter, like those are both needs. They didn't say which is the greater need. They said, where is a greater player available? Like where is a, and they didn't see a five who was worth this money. And they did see Ty Jerome who was worth this money. And so they said, let's do that. So I thought they were going to get Jaren Dunn, but that is only because they had already built such a good relationship with Jaren. Okay, I'm not giving him much credit for Santi. That was pretty obvious. But and I absolutely am giving him credit for Ty Jerome. And so at the least, I'm giving him an A-, and I'm declaring you both to be stingy. What's your defense?
You're a great inflationist. You've always said, you've been on the record with your boys. You believed in great inflation.
Well, that is true.
I'm at my core. I don't believe
it. Even on the merits, even in the 1950s, this would have been an A-.
No, this wouldn't have.
What is there to quibble with here?
I mean, if you want to quibble, like Ty Jerome did not have a good playoffs. Like, why did Cleveland not keep him? Why were you able to get him? Like, I'm with you. I like everything that they did. I just don't think it was pure excellence.
Cleveland is above the second apron already, though, so they can't really do a whole lot of anything. I don't know.
Yeah,
I was looking at some of those centered play contracts that got thrown around yesterday, and the more I think about it, I'm kind of glad they didn't really get in on that market. Didn't Cornette get like $30 million?
This should actually
deal?
Be a Disney movie. Luke Cornette was out of the league in 21-22, and now he's getting 4 years, $41 million.
It's actually a nice. I mean,
no, it's an awesome story.
Great for him, awesome.
Well, but a lot of these are like Ty Jerome himself. How many teams? Four teams. Well, a bunch. Like until he hit it last year. I mean, I think there are. I'll guess. Put it this way. I certainly think there are ways you can quibble with the Grizzlies roster, and what is yet to be done. And in fact, I would ask this question: are they better right now than the healthy Grizzlies would have been last year? And I don't think they're better. They're different, but I don't think they're better. I think they have the potential to grow into a team that is better, but I don't think they're necessarily better. It's very clear though. One of the interesting things is that, and Chris has made this point before, when you have Ja, you already have you're limited in shooting and you're limited defensively, particularly defensively. And then you add Dez next to him, who's a smaller guard. And what you need is then you need your three to have to guard the point guard. You need your three to have to guard ones. And it's why they kept doing, they were in the Dylan Brooks business. It's why they were in the Marcus Smart business. And now around Ja, they're actually pretty huge. You know, their twos are really two threes. They're all, you know, the guys who are, whether it's Jalen or Vince or Ty Jerome or whoever it is, they're pretty big. They're pretty big twos. They're pretty big at the three. They're monstrous when Zach Edey gets back at center. Jaren's like, they're now a very long team around Ja. I think there's still three things that you could look at and wonder about. One would be shooting. It's still a problem, right? I mean, like if Coward becomes what we think he can become, and ultimately becomes a starter and a shooter, but like in the starting lineup, you know, you got KCP who didn't shoot it well last year. You got, whether it's Brandon Clark or Zach Edey, they're not stretching the floor for you. Ja's not shooting it well, you know, for you. So all you got is Jaren and Jalen Wells. Well, at a time when, you know, when various teams are loading up with three-point shooters, you're still pretty thin. It is important that you added Ty Jerome. So shooting would be one thing.
I get it. I'm not comparing them to the Thunder, but the Thunder did just win a championship.
Yeah, they proved you didn't need to.
Like you didn't. Yes. Like it wasn't like they were just the best shooting team. Like they were one of the.
They were literally
one of the
best defensive team. Yeah. Like and so, yeah, they had other compensations.
Correct.
So you're right. You can't do it. Then you know the ball handling's still interesting. Like Ty Jerome is not a pure point guard. That's not what he is. So if Ja's going to miss 20 games, I'll be interested. I mean, now you got Scottie Pippen and Ty Jerome, but neither one of them is a pure run the offense kind of point guard. You know,
Drew's going to leave Cam Spencer out of this.
He's not a point guard either. He's a two. He's an undersized, scrappy. He's a dog, is what he is, Jeff.
He's a
damn grizzly bear. And so, but Drew Hill had a piece up where basically that he compares statistically Chad Jerome and Desmond Bane. And honestly, if you just look at the stats, Ty Jerome's better. And he makes the point he's not better. But if you just look at the stats from last year, they're pretty impressive. And they basically were both on the ball about a quarter of the time with sort of similar results. But as we established, we didn't love it. You know, we didn't love it when Des was. And I don't think you just love Ty Jerome as he's not a pure point guard running the show. So, and then of course the thing that you two point out, being the misers that you are, they didn't solve the issue at the five, which will be particularly pressing at the start of the year when there is no Zach Edey. How big a concern is that for you each?
I think they're going to be able to get something at like the minimum, like in the end, like we got some decent production out of Gorgui Dieng for a little bit. Like, do I think they're going to be able to hold their head above water? I do. The bigger concern is just like, okay, well, Zach Edey's been in the league 1 year and he's already had a foot surgery.
Oh, so your point is that it's not, if he comes back, you're fine. You can spackle it together until he comes back. That's true. Like in the end, if Zach Edey is a disaster, well, that's true of any of them though. Like if Ja's not healthy, if Jaren's not healthy, they do right now. They have their, you know, with adding the contract with Cam Spencer and everything else, they got their 15 players, so they can still do things, but they have to move someone out if they want to add another deal. They can still make a trade. You know, you have contracts you can trade. You can trade Conchar's deal. You can trade Jay Huff's deal. There are other ways that you can bring in bigs besides a minimum. And in fact, you're going to have to make space on the roster to do that. It doesn't seem to be obvious to anyone right now who that could be. Chris mentioned a bunch of candidates, but that's clearly the thing that is left to be done. So, all right, if you're going to now break it down, here's the depth chart. According to Chris's piece today.
Right. Yeah, I love that he's been doing. I love that he's been including them.
Depth charts are
helpful. Yeah, oh, it's the best.
Okay, Ja, Scottie Pippen Jr. and Javon Small at point guard. How you feel about that?
It's solid.
I think you got to feel very good about that.
Yeah,
right. You got a player who you hope is going to be reascend into top 15 player in the world status. And then you got a very solid backup in Scottie Pippen Jr. And then Javon Small will be on a two-way. Boom, fine. One of the things I find interesting is the scoring guard, is the two guard. I don't think it's obvious at all how this will play out. Right now, he has them listed as KCP, then Ty Jerome, and then Vince Williams Jr., and then Cam Spencer. Well, I'm perfectly happy to leave Cam Spencer there, Jeffrey, without offering any disparagements to him. But it is interesting. Vince Williams Jr., who was being counted on a year ago to be emerge, and a lot of people thought he would be the starter by the time the playoffs rolled around last year. You now pencil him in on the depth chart as third. What do you make of that position? KCP, Ty Jerome, and Vince Williams Jr.
Intrigued. I think the thing with Vince is I think you have to list him third simply because the information that we have, which was Tuomas's feelings about Vince when he played last year, like he was clearly like he was willing to deep six him. I'm still holding out hope that Vince just had a lost year last year because of injury, and that if he comes back as a fully healthy offseason, that he can still be an active difference maker off the bench. But I think basically he's listing the two guards based on how much they get paid.
Well, and you have to first, let's be honest, lined up against other teams in the league, that is not an impressive group of players. Like, there's no star there. You know what I mean?
No,
aging
there's
KCP,
not. But if you
Ty Jerome, it is better than, you know, there's no Desmond Bane there. Like,
no,
it's just not. I don't rule out there is a universe in which Vince Williams Jr. could emerge as the best of those three players. Don't you think that's within the, if he comes back, is healthy, and hits shots the way he did 2 years ago? I don't rule out the possibility. Like, in other words, I think you're right. He has those listed according to some combination of money, seniority, whatever else in the league. But I think you throw him in the bag and you see who emerges. Like, I don't, in the end, like by the end of the season, I don't know who will be the number, who will be getting the most minutes and be your most effective two guard.
No, I think that's a fair point. I also think he's laid it out based on who's going to get the first shake.
Clearly, he's going to get the first shake. It's like, yes, he's KCP, got a championship. He's like, yes. But I don't know that it's going to play out that way. And if I'm saying that the Grizzlies at point guard are among the better teams in the league, I don't think they are at scoring guard. They're just not.
No, I think that's completely reasonable.
Small forward, honestly, Jalen Wells, Cedric Coward, John Conchar. How do you feel?
Okay. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, hopeful.
High hopes, right? Yeah. High hopes. That's it. I mean, what you hope is that Cedric Coward is going to be
what they drafted him.
Yeah, I got in this big argument, not big argument, but with Jason and John yesterday as I was driving along. They disturbed my peace by accusing Memphis fans of being way, way, way too optimistic about Cedric Coward. And my view was, I don't think it's Memphis fans who are. I think it's David Thorpe, you know, and it's Henry Abbott, and it's other national writers. I think most Memphis Grizzly fans think, boy, it would be good if he could be a rotation player this year and show some effectiveness and some signs that he's going to be really good. And it would be great if he could emerge as the third best player on this team. And sure, if he could someday be an all-star, that would be fantastic. But he's just a draft. I don't actually think that the hopes for him in the Memphis fan base are totally outlandish or unreasonable. It's not the Memphis fan base that rolled out the Kobe comparisons and the Michael Jordan comparisons and even the Cade Cunningham comparisons.
With a dusting of SGA.
And with a dusting of SGA. Mm-hmm. So, but right now, you'd also have to say, league average, it's kind of weak. Unless you're counting on Cedric Coward to emerge as a real thing. Like, there's huge growth potential. But I don't think, but I feel perfectly good. It's a rational, it actually slots Jalen Wells and Cedric Coward in where they should be. But I don't. At the four, you got Jaren, Santi, and then Gigi.
I think we all feel pretty good there.
Feel great.
Yep.
Feel great. It would be kind of nice if Santi were exactly as good a player as he is, only were a, you know, rebounding, glass-eating monster. You know what I mean? Like, a little bit more than he is or could guard. But whatever. You got to – so at point guard and at four – they are excellent. And then center, Zach Edey, Brandon Clark, Jay Huff. How do you feel about that?
I hope Edey's healthy.
Well, yeah, I don't think if he's healthy, I don't feel worse about that than I do about either scoring guard or small forward if he's healthy.
Right, but that's a big if because A, he just had surgery, and then B, the other guy that makes you feel good just had injections in his knee.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to do something because Brandon Clark, like you could, I think you're right. You could have imagined a younger Brandon Clark becoming the 20 game starter.
Yeah. Patching it together. 100%. Yeah.
But I don't know if you can this Brandon Clark, even to start the season. Can you count on him for 20 games as the starter?
I'd stretch this. Can you count on him for more than 20 minutes a game?
Well, no.
And how many games in a row?
22, whatever. So, yeah. So, but I thought yesterday was just great. I was really, and again, for me, the part that I don't think, and really what goes into my very considered A-minus grade is I don't take for granted everything they did in building their relationship with Jaren such that it's like, oh, of course Jaren wanted to be here. Because, you know, honestly, and I do, it is against a little bit of the backdrop of the Stephen A. stuff, the small market stuff, the all that nonsense. And like, if you saw Jaren's tweets, he's incredibly happy about being back. And yes, it was kind of, oh yeah, of course they were going to do that. But that is to the credit of the organization that they created that level of comfort with Jaren, and Jaren with the people in the organization and with the prospects for the future of the organization that he wants to be a part of this. So I thought it was a pretty damn good day for the Grizzlies. I'll be interested. Obviously, you'll have Chris Harrington on in a little bit to talk about it further. So then if you look, I don't know, anything else you want to say about the Grizzlies before we look beyond the Grizzlies a little bit? Anything else, either of you? Any other pressing Grizzly thoughts?
It was fun yesterday because, like, right around 5 o'clock, everybody online is like, we're waiting. And then, like, boom, here it goes. The Jaren Jackson Jr. extension is. Right. And then it literally felt like for the next hour, the whole league was just yelling and screaming, or all fans of the league were yelling and screaming because the only news we had was Grizzlies news. So shout out to the team for dominating the news cycle.
Shout out to the team for dominating the news cycle. And we didn't mention it. The way they are, again, they've reached an agreement in principle with Jaren, and the way that they're going to get there, we've talked so much about how they're going to free up the money. It's going to be somehow making Cole Anthony disappear with a buyout or a stretch or something. We don't really know the particulars yet there. I thought it was great work by Zach Kleiman. Maybe I hope folks are starting to have some confidence given the way this offseason has progressed. I still, Jeffrey, don't know that you would change the over and under. Like, where'd you put it the other day for wins? 42.5?
Yeah, 42.5, 43, somewhere around that.
You want to bump it to 43.5 or 44.5 now with Ty Jerome?
I suspect it's going to be about that.
Yeah, it'll be in there somewhere. Okay. In terms of other stuff, I mean, it is a wild day. You know, I mean, it's just wild. You can't keep track of where the hell everybody's ending up. And so it's impossible to think about all of this. I did think it was interesting to see where some former Grizzlies went. I will lament the Jake LaRavia experience because they clearly should have kept him, right? I mean, it's just a mistake to not extend his rookie deal, and so to let him walk. And he ends up on the Lakers. The Lakers tried to sign Dorian Finney-Smith, but they only offered 2 years. Because what's very clear with the Lakers is, and it's just weird, we didn't talk about this yesterday, the whole LeBron thing is so weird to me. He takes the 50-plus million, and then they put out this odd statement about how he's wants to make sure they're committed to winning, you know, and this is really, the championship is really important to him. I don't have the words in front of me, right? And people spent 24 hours dissecting that. I guess what I would say is this. If LeBron really was, if the championship was his highest priority, another championship, you know what he would have done?
Opted out.
He would have taken, he would have taken a minimum salary to go to Cleveland.
Now, I'm unclear. There's a limit of what he could have done, though. Like, he could have opted out, but I don't think it was like, oh, he could opt out and then all of a sudden be on a $2.5 million deal. Like, there's some language from the player's side where they don't want guys doing that.
Well, I don't know what they want or not want, but
like, I think it's in the CBA. Someone was explaining me
okay,
that
if you can find that to me, yeah, let me know. Cause I don't see any reason why he couldn't have opted out, said, I'm a billionaire, go to Cleveland and take a minimum if that's what you want. But let's be honest, his highest priorities were being in LA, which I totally understand. He's, you know, ancient at this point. His son's on the team. He wants to be in LA. Makes all the sense in the world for him to be in LA, but he wanted to be in LA. He wanted to make $50 million. And then you want to put out a passive aggressive statement saying, it's still really important that you win with me and not just be building around Luka for the future. I don't, you know, there are other, if that, I do not believe the best way to pursue a championship was to stay in LA with that team. It just wasn't. And so what they did with Dorian Finney-Smith is they didn't want to tie up 40 years with him, which is what he got from Houston. So instead, he walks to Houston, and I give him all the credit in the world because they signed Jake LaRavia, who I think is good. And so so that was interesting. Tyus Jones reunited with Desmond Bain in Orlando. How about that?
Yeah, it seems like Orlando and Atlanta are like, it kind of felt like you're flying from Memphis. Like, you can get a direct to Orlando or you can get a direct to Atlanta.
Yeah. You got to like what Atlanta has done, like, the entire offseason after with Porzingis. It's not Luke Kennard, although Luke Kennard is in Atlanta. Nikhil Walker-Alexander, they do a sign and trade. I think they've done a terrific job. Houston is confusing to me. Like, they just keep adding players, like players who the Grizzlies at various points we wondered if they would be interested in, including Dorian Finney-Smith and Clint Capella. How are they going to play Steven Adams, Sengun, and Capella? I actually don't understand what the hell they're doing. And they don't have a lot of guards. They have a bunch. The front court is absolutely crowded. Good players. I don't really get that. I thought D'Angelo Russell to the Mavs, as they have to deal with a Kyrie injury at the beginning. I know he's a mercurial player, but I kind of like that for them at the price. I thought that was a very good deal.
I do like how Dallas is becoming the LeBron cast-off destination.
Well, that's true, too. You're right. That's true, too. I mean, Dallas has, you know, they got so freaking lucky in the lottery in a way that they did not deserve. But apart from that, I think they haven't been stupid. And then, you know, the other problem is that I think, you know, you look at the West and, you know, you see what Houston's doing. Well, that's kind of tough. Minnesota was able to keep most of their players, you know. And then Denver, they get off the Michael Porter Jr. contract for guys playing with one arm.
I mean, I honestly thought that was
$1 billion.
I thought that was the biggest deal of the day. The fact that they were actually able to get off of the untradeable contract.
It's unbelievable to me. Now, and I saw some people thought it made sense for the Nets. I just don't see how. So you've got Michael Porter Jr., who's going to presumably put up big numbers for the Nets.
I mean, I think it made sense only when you consider this. They have to spend 90% of the cap, and so they just took five first-rounders. You got to presume those five are going to be on their roster, so they've got to figure out a way to get to 90% of the cap.
But Denver, isn't the pick in 2032?
Yeah, I think it was.
The point was
at that point, Jokic will be.
I totally
40.
Get it. You're like, if I am Brooklyn and I'm getting Denver's pick, they got Jokic. I don't want their pick this year or next year or next year. Maybe by 32, Jokic will have slowed down or retired or gone to race horses and wherever or whatever, whatever he does, lost interest. And so maybe the 32, and it's an unprotected pick. I mean, they get one unprotected pick for taking on Michael Porter Jr.'s salary, but it totally liberates Denver, which has been laboring with this, you know, albatross of a contract. Instead, you get Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson, he's a great shooter in Brooklyn where he's got to be working for his shots. Here, with Jokic creating the open shots for him, hell, he may hit 70% from three. I from the Grizzlies' perspective, I hated that Denver was able to get off that deal and get Cam Johnson for a – and let's be honest, who cares? If you're Denver and you're trying to win with Jokic – whatever happens in 32 happens in 32.
Yeah. No, I'm with that. That's 7 years. 100%. This gives them a better chance to win another title in that time frame. Who cares?
Exactly. That was just bizarre to me. And then you saw a bunch of, you know, evidently, I mean, one of the themes here is that a bunch of teams who could have been active whether it's Golden State or the Lakers weren't very active, or there was another one, are sort of keeping their powder dry if Giannis ever, you know, some future year, right? Some future year, if he ever becomes available or another star becomes available. So, but it's a fascinating day, you know, even though it wasn't not a lot of big names. And I thought the Grizzlies did a bang up job. All right, I'm gonna bail. Leave it to you two. Chop it up for a little bit. Chris Harrington's gonna join the show straight up at 10 o'clock, and then Jeffrey, you get to wrangle with a very difficult personality that it is Charles Fishman. Fish on Friday, on Tuesday. So we'll do all that coming up. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Yeah. All right, George, coming up at the top of the hour, Chris Harrington's going to join us, and he's going to do his best to explain to George and I how the Grizzlies were able to make yesterday happen, because George and I were texting pretty much during the entirety of the free agency special that was going on ESPN, and we were...
How many times do you think between us we both said,
I don't
how
know.
How is this happening? Yeah, what's going on?
I don't know. So I was doing more research. You're allowed... There is not a limit of the number of contracts that you can waive and stretch, but it cannot exceed more than 15% of the salary cap.
Okay, because that was something we asked about, and we were looking at when the message from Cole Anthony's people came out. We both looked at that and said, okay, what does this mean? How are they going to go about this? Because, okay, if that's a stretch and waive, what about a buyout? Is mutual termination on the table?
I think... That is a fair question. That's one that we need to ask. That's one that we definitely need to ask.
Now,
Chris,
is that also us conflating what you can do in other leagues?
Or yes. So, based on what my understanding is, a buyout is no different than stretch and waive. It's a different,
just different terminology.
Correct.
And different.
So essentially, the amount of money that you agree to the buyout. So, for instance, let's say George has a $10 million contract.
Whoa.
George and I agree that we will buy him out for $6 million. What you can do is the $6 million gets stretched to Let's say you had 2 years left.
Yeah.
The $6 million would count. So $3 million would count against next year's cap. $3 million would count against the following year's cap. Now, where I get unclear with Cole Anthony is, okay, well, he only has 1 year remaining.
And the other's an option, is it not?
It's a team option.
Which you can just straight decline and take that off the books.
Right. So where I get unclear is how much, like, because in the Grizzlies scenario, you would like for him to agree to a $1 buyout. Because then you only $1 would count against the cap.
Yes.
So it's, but I don't know.
I doubt that's.
I mean, why would you do that?
Exactly.
And there's no way the Players Association would do that. So George and I are looking forward to having explained to us, because yesterday I started to have the feelings of, like, are the Grizzlies the Rams, where I keep hearing there's a salary cap, but it never seems to impact the Rams?
Oh, the one that I always deal with that is the Saints.
The Saints. Well, the Saints, it's always made sense to me. The Saints because the
Other
Rams
than Mickey
is,
Loomis being a wizard.
Well, the Saints basically just, like, are the ultimate at kicking the can down the road and never having to pay the credit card bill. Like, the Saints basically just every single year get out a new credit card to pay their old credit card, and they've never had to have the day where it's all come due. So maybe that's starting now with the Derek Carr situation.
He retired, though.
Right. So I think, though, that the team's not on the hook for, like, I think he only got like $15 million. Like, forgive, like, whatever. If he was owed 40, he got like 15 of it.
Yeah.
But maybe, like, that starts to save them money. But what the Rams do is the Rams, because they have a more liquid owner, the Rams just can keep converting money into salary or to signing bonus money. And
oh, yeah.
Like,
which,
so,
because that doesn't.
So I think they can do like up to like 30%. That's how they keep avoiding it. But that doesn't exist in the NBA.
No. And in baseball, you can defer contracts. Happy
Correct.
Bobby Bonilla Day, by the way.
Yep. Shout out to the Mets.
I don't know that you can do that in the NBA. I also was looking at
the
playoff.
I don't think you can do defer payment. I don't know all the mechanisms of converting, of how you can convert contracts to
signing non-cap hitting money. I was looking at the player option thing, by the way. I actually did pull up the CBA. Dense. Horribly dense.
How big was that PDF?
Like 700 pages.
Yes.
750 pages. By the way, and player options are on page 330-something. I didn't see anything.
Apple F?
Hmm?
Apple F or Control F?
I was doing it on my phone.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything on there about it not being able to just be a UFA if you decline a player option.
Yeah, I mean, they...
But I also don't know what then you can sign for.
Right, and I'm also like, I don't think like you can make this just go away.
Sure.
You can make it count minimally, and then they're obviously using some of their...
But also, we're talking about it in a situation where the player option's $52 million. Why would you not take that? I recognize maybe wanting to go somewhere else where you think you can... In this instance, anyway, we're talking about a Cleveland team that can't add right now unless they move some contracts out. Like, they just can't really add, period.
Right, because they're up against the second apron. Like, they've got a cut.
Yeah.
Although Gilbert... Listen, if you want to quibble with maybe some of his loaning practices during the financial crisis, that's fair game. But when his team is good, he has historically paid to be good.
True. I don't remember. Are the Knicks over the second apron? Because it sounds like they're adding Clarkson. Which, I mean, I think that's a good pickup for them. I think they need a coach first.
It sounds like it might be Mike Brown.
It sounds like it's going to be Mike Brown.
Also,
we didn't talk about this. Like, did you hear that Dawn Staley interviewed with them?
No, I did not.
I don't know if it was like a formal interview or if it was just conversations, but
I mean, if she wants to coach, but like, you've got the greatest gig in all of college sports.
Oh yeah, and a program that is
that's what I'm saying, like
very well oiled,
and they're
willing
committed.
To spend.
Right, they're committed. So like, and it's only going to get the gap's only going to get wider in women's sports.
Absolutely. Supposedly she was impressive, which that doesn't shock me even a little bit. She seems awesome.
So,
but it
appears
like it's
to me
friend.
That the Knicks are $53,000 below the second apron.
Okay, so they can add using an exception.
I believe so. So they add Jordan based on the rim exception?
I believe so. I didn't see a number. It was just an intends to add.
Yeah. So yesterday was like a reel of like I don't understand the salary cap anymore, and I'm like close to just being like, I'm done.
The NBA just makes it so incredibly complicated for what feels like no reason in this CBA.
I mean,
like the NFL
just,
is complicated.
Like, to your point, it just feels to me like, okay, most of the executives at the NBA are attorneys, and this is written by attorneys.
Oh, absolutely.
And the NBA, you have more owners that have bought teams versus in the NFL, you still have a decent amount of people that their entire wealth is just tied, like their families that have a NFL team.
Yeah.
So, like, the Maras, the Tishes, the Rooneys, the McCaskills.
The Irsays.
The Irsays. Let's see.
There are a handful that aren't just in the NFL. I mean, you've got Kroenke, who's in just about everything.
Yep.
You have the Pegulas, who are also
I mean, you have people that have bought in, like the Haslams, but there also seems to be... I mean, I guess also with the NFL, like, you're seeing the key difference between, like, a 53-man roster and a 15-person roster. But I do think the big takeaway that I had from yesterday was, and we've kind of been talking about this, of things we're monitoring. It seems to me like, and maybe this year is an aberration, and maybe it won't. Maybe we'll get to next summer and it'll be different. I don't feel like, I felt like the guys that got paid yesterday got paid to stay.
For the most part, it certainly felt that way. I mean, or even just over the weekend,
sure.
That happened. I mean, we also had the Jabari Smith deal come out, which was that yesterday or day before last?
I think it came out Sunday.
He's getting paid to stay. We talked with Hurd yesterday about all the guys that essentially got paid, declined an option, but
yep.
Added term. Yeah, it really did feel like more players now are being paid to stay, which in a way, is that not part of what a lot of the CBA is built to do? I mean,
so
because you've
yes
got bird
and,
rights,
well,
you've
yes
got...
and no. The problem is when you start trying to keep three of your guys, it is designed to give you the advantage. So the CBA previous to this one was the one that really introduced the, we want to incentivize our teams if they find good players to be able to keep them.
Yeah.
But then this CBA, with the introduction of the second apron, a.k.a. the hard salary cap, like, this is the problem that Boston ran into. Like, you can't pay everybody.
Which, that just reminded me, we kind of touched on it. What is Atlanta doing? I'm, like, I know that's off track, but, like,
they
bring in Porzingis.
I think what it shows is everybody feels that the East is up for grabs. And so...
But does that really move the needle that much over there?
A lot of the stuff they did is fairly low risk, though. Like, Porzingis is basically going to be a one-year rental, and you're crossing your fingers and hoping that you get 1 year of good health. You do the deal with...
Kennard. They bring in Kennard for, like, the one-year cheap deal.
Yeah, almost everything they're doing feels like, let's see if we can shake it up for this year. They get Alexander Walker.
That's right, which... That's a little bit more term and a little bit more money, but I feel like on the open market, that was always going to happen for him.
Yeah, and then when the T-Wolves made the decision to
keep
Naz Reid and Julius Randle, like, obviously they couldn't keep all three.
They kind of priced themselves out of Alexander Walker, plus they already have Ant and Gobert.
I mean, to me, what Atlanta's doing is like, let's see if we can make a run this year, because it feels like the East is up for grabs. Because while Cleveland can run it back, like, Indiana's going to have real questions because like they're expected to sign Miles Turner, but they're going to have to figure out
the money for that.
Correct.
Because, I mean, he was funny, and I don't want to say funny enough, but he was on a pretty team-friendly contract up until this season. He's still out there. He was making, what, like 20 a year, but I still think he's one of the better centers in the league.
Yeah, I would agree.
So he's probably in line for a raise. Orlando has made some moves, but I still think they need to make sure that they either add another five or re-up with Mo, because other than that, their only center is Goga.
Yeah.
And they had his ups and downs last season.
The other thing that I was thinking about is, like, are we expecting that the Grizzlies are going to have trades that are going to be tied into all of this?
Don't they have to?
I mean, that was kind of my expectation, but the way that people have been talking, it's like they might make trades for more pieces, but everyone was acting like they were able to do this through their like accounting process, aka just wave and stretching.
Or are we all kind of overthinking this, and they are going to spend this year?
I do not think that they're going to spend into the tax.
Which is that, well, so that's the thing. They were a salary cap team, right?
Correct.
So they had a couple mil to play with before they actually hit the tax or the salary cap. What's the gap there between the salary cap and the tax? I know Chris told us that yesterday.
I think it's like 10 million.
So if they're using...
Hang on. All right. Over the cap is 140.5.
Okay.
The first apron is 178.1.
So there's 30 there to play with.
Correct.
Does that get them there? Because for this season, because, correct me if I'm wrong, with your exception, you can use the full exception and a little bit if you have salary cap room to pay a player. Because Ty Jerome comes in at, what, like 9 something?
Yeah, I want to say it was like 9.1. You and I were talking about it. It's under 10.
It's under 10. So the 8.8 from the exception plus, you know, some change, they're still under the cap. And then the extension, which we know from yesterday talking to Chris, the salary cap hold on Santi was 11.
Yep.
And he got 17.
So
there's
six.
About 6 right there. That only gets them above the cap. That doesn't get them into an apron, though.
Let's find out from Chris. Chris is going to explain this to me because I'm an idiot. George, I feel like, is getting closer to understanding. I've just kind of thrown my hands up.
So the puzzle pieces are starting to come together.
We'll talk with Chris Harrington next right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 99 FM, ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.